Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Have you ever heard someone say, well, I just wish we were more spiritual? Or I just wish so-and-so was more spiritual? Or I wish that I were more spiritual? Or, and sometimes you may hear, well, I tell you, I go to that little congregation over there because they're more spiritual. Or I go to this particular gathering because it's a spiritual thing for me. In many cases, what they're talking about is some kind of warm inner glow or feeling that they might obtain from a particular situation or relationship or circumstance. And by that they mean then spiritual. Is that what the Bible talks about, being spiritual? Is that what Paul has in mind when he says that the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace? Is he talking about that warm inner glow that some people talk about, that feeling that's sometimes better felt than told? Is that real spirituality? Does one not have spirituality? Is he not a spiritual person if he doesn't exude some kind of inner glow or a spiritual personality to the world and thus convert others by a simple personality? Well, we want to talk about that today. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? What does it mean to be more spiritual? Paul says we ought to have a spiritual mind. We ought to have, in the American Standard Version says, we ought to have the mind of the Spirit, which is life and peace. Let us define spiritual. Webster says that spiritual is of or relating to or consisting of spirit. Of or relating to sacred matters. Now that's a secular definition. Thayer, a Greek lexicon, Greek dictionary, says that spiritual has, in reference to persons, means one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. Vine, the expository dictionary of New Testament words, defines spiritual as men in Christ who walk so as to please God. That's what spiritual means. Men in Christ who walk so as to please God. The spiritual man is one who walks by the Spirit, both in the sense of Galatians 5:16 negative, that is, not doing the works of the flesh, and then also those who walk in a positive way according to the fruits of the Spirit, or according to the Spirit's teaching, which results in fruits, Galatians 5:22. And who himself then manifests the fruit of the Spirit in his own way. The spiritual man then is one who lives in keeping with and in harmony with the teachings of the Spirit. I believe that we sometimes get the cart before the horse. We talk about feeling and emotion and how we ought to have a warm inner sense of assurance and confidence before we get to the point where we're obedient and walking in the light and walking in the way of God. I believe that confidence and assurance and the feeling of security and that warm feeling that we're looking for and we so desire, and most people do, comes as a result of walking in harmony with God's will. Having the mind of the Spirit in control of our own will. In other words, in essence, doing the will of God. The word spiritual is used in many different ways in the Scripture. Let's notice some ways that it's used. First of all, the word spiritual is used with reference to types of the real thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, Paul talks about the Old Testament and the Mosaical people, the Israelite people coming across the Red Sea. And he says they partook of the spiritual food, spiritual drink, of the spiritual rock, who is Christ. It refers to spiritual things then. Also, the word spiritual talks about, is used with reference to words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, talks about spiritual words. The words, and basically it means the words by which the purposes of God are revealed through the Spirit. The Bible talks about spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Basically, this means songs which the theme, or the theme of which, is the things revealed by the Spirit. Spiritual wisdom and understanding is mentioned in Colossians 1 and 9. This is the wisdom and understanding of the things which are revealed by the Spirit. Paul said, if any man is a prophet, or if any man is spiritual, let him give witness to the fact, or bear witness to the fact, that the things which I speak are the commandments of God. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual blessings are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. By this we simply mean those blessings that are given to Christians through Christ, as revealed by the Spirit. Spiritual blessings. We have spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. We have spiritual gifts which are temporary in nature. We have spiritual gifts given by God as to our ability and our talents, which are permanent in nature. There are those spiritual gifts then. There is a spiritual house, as is mentioned in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. We are a spiritual house. And basically, this means the whole company of Christians in which God dwells in the Spirit. Ephesians 2 and verse 22. A habitation of God in the Spirit. There are spiritual sacrifices offered by these people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Basically, these spiritual sacrifices are the activities of Christians toward God as such. Spiritual activities. Therefore, all that is produced and maintained among men by the operations of the Spirit of God is spiritual. That's what the New Testament says about it. All those things which are produced and maintained among men by the operation of the Spirit of God are spiritual. The person then, the individual then, who is interested in and follows that which is produced and maintained by the Spirit is spiritual. Are you spiritual? You are if you are interested in those things which are produced and maintained by the Spirit of God. If you're interested in the Scripture, if you're interested in spiritual things, then you're a spiritual individual. That's what it amounts to. Now let's notice in detail that aspect of what the New Testament teaches. First of all, let me suggest to you, and ask you this question. What do we mean when we say we need to be more spiritual or spiritually minded? In light of the definitions that we've given, the examples that have been given as illustrations. Let us notice then what it means to be more spiritually minded. How do we become more spiritually minded? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that it means basically that we're more concerned about God and His Son. More concerned about what God has done for us and our responsibility with regard to that gift in the giving of His Son for our salvation. John 3 and 16. Also, our responsibility as to what God has done for others, and then our inherent responsibility toward them because of what God has done for others. In other words, the carrying out of the Great Commission, the carrying out of our responsibility as Christians before Him. To be more spiritual means that we ought to be involved in following the way of the Spirit. That's what it amounts to. In Romans chapter 8, in the passage that I asked Brother Pat to read earlier, deals with this, verse 4 and 5 particularly. That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's righteousness is fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ in our lives when we walk after the way of the Spirit. How do we do that? By walking according to the will of the Spirit. How do we do that? By walking according to what the Spirit has revealed. The New Testament, the will of Christ. For they that are after the flesh mind the things that are the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Those who are spiritual are those who mind the things of the Spirit. Those who are spiritual are those who are interested in God's will. Those who are spiritual are interested in walking in the light, as He is in the light. Those who are spiritual who know they have a right relationship with God are those who know that they're keeping the commandments of God. 1 John verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. So those who are spiritual are those who are following the way of the Spirit. As he continues in verse 9 to 14, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those who are spiritual are those who are led by the Spirit of God. How are we led by the Spirit of God? By following the will of God. Now notice these three things here that are mentioned in verse 9 through verse 12 or verse 11. Notice that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Notice that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And notice that Christ dwells in you. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we're to have the mind of Christ in us. What it amounts to simply is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, the influence of Christ, the dynamic of Christ, the power of Christ is evident in our lives as we do His will. Those who do not have the Spirit of Christ in control of His life and in His will are not of Him. Those who do not have the Spirit of God in control of His will are not of Him. It's that simple. We're not spiritual. We're not spiritually minded. We're not doing the will of God. How do we receive the Spirit? Galatians 3 and verse 2 tells us that we receive not the Spirit by the keeping of the law, but we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. I believe that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 tells us that we have Christ in us through faith. We know that we have the Spirit of God in us. We know that we have the Spirit of Christ in us. We know that God dwells in us. We know that Christ dwells in us. We know the Holy Spirit dwells in us through faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 12, Paul talks about this life of a living sacrifice. And he says, my beloved brethren, I beseech you that you offer your lives offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. By the renewing of your minds. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul continues this theme of renewing of one's mind. He says in verse 22, that ye put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. What he said basically is this. If we're going to be following the way of the Spirit, we're going to have the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, will be in control of our lives. We will be submissive to His will. We'll be submissive to the will of God. We'll be submissive to the will of Christ. We will be renewed in our mind, not conformed to the world in a negative way, but positively then be renewed in our mind as we reshape and mold our minds into the mind of Christ and our wills into the will of Christ. Galatians 5:16 talks about this idea or this concept about the Spirit. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18, but if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, and then he lists them. But notice verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. They that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. And if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. A spiritual person is the person who is led by the Spirit of God. He's the Son of God. He's a Christian. The person who is a spiritual person is the person who bears the fruit of the Spirit in his life. He's living in harmony with the will of Christ. And that results in these development of those fruits in his life. What does it mean to be more concerned about spiritual things or being more spiritually minded? It means to be more concerned about what happens to the church, the body of Christ, and the building up of it. It means to be more interested in the work, becoming involved, caring whether we exist or if we even deserve to be called a church of Christ. It's becoming us and not they. To be spiritually minded and become more spiritually minded is to be more concerned about strengthening our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, Paul would say, brethren, if any man be overtaken in the trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of gentleness. And in James 5:19, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth, ye who convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. We are children. We are sons of God. We are in the family of God. We care about one another. We love one another. We're concerned about one another's souls. To be spiritually minded is to be concerned about one another in the body of Christ. It's to be concerned about one another in the family of God. It's to be concerned about one another as fellow members of the body, of the family of Christ. We're to bear one another's burdens, he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's to be more concerned about eternal life. To be more spiritually minded is to be more concerned about heaven. To be more concerned about heaven than some other things. To be more concerned about heaven than our car or our house or the clothes that we wear. We're to be more concerned about the eternal inheritance which is laid up for us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Jesus warned us, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in his possessions. To be spiritually minded then is to be concerned about spiritual things. Is to be concerned about our relationship to God. Is to be concerned about our relationship in walking in the way. Is to be concerned about what happens to the church, the body. Is to be concerned about strengthening our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and being concerned about them and bearing one another's burdens. Is to be concerned about heaven and eternal life and where I'm going to spend eternity. That's what spiritual is. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, beginning in verse 1, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things that are above and not on the things upon the earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. That's what it means to be spiritual. To set our minds on spiritual things. What can we do to become more spiritual? What can we do to become spiritually minded and have life and peace? As Paul mentions in Romans 8 and 6. Well, let me suggest to you that, first of all, we can recognize that we still are carnal or material or fleshly about some things, and we need to do something about it. The place to start is recognition of our need. We will never become more spiritual until we recognize that we're not spiritual enough. We'll never develop in spirituality until we recognize we still have a problem with carnality. We'll never be more concerned and we'll never set our minds firmly and fixed upon things of which are above until we recognize that we have our minds and our eyes and our life fixed on things on the earth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, I'd like to write to you about spiritual things, but I have to write to you about carnal things because you are carnal. You don't recognize your carnality. That's a problem that we have. Recognizing that carnality or that the concern that we have for the flesh and the things of the flesh and our lack of concern for spiritual things, we need to repent. We need to determine to turn our lives from that direction and turn them toward more spiritual things. And then we need to strive to live no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 5 or Romans 8 and verse 5. We need to ask God to forgive us. He will. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our faults, He's just and faithful to forgive us of our faults. If we are carnally minded, if we've been fleshly minded, if we've been more concerned about this world and the things of this world and less concerned about spiritual things, then we need to repent and ask God to forgive us. And He will do so. We need to pray more. James says in James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. We need to draw nigh to God to become more like Him, become transformed into His image, become transformed into the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ in us, we need to get closer to God. That's what it means to become more spiritual. That's how to do it. We need to study His Word. It's impossible for us to walk in the way of the Spirit if we do not know what the Spirit teaches. It is absolutely impossible for us to walk in the way of the light if we do not know the light. It's impossible to keep the commandments of God if we do not know the commandments of God. You cannot do it. And so we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, but handling aright the word of truth. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and 18. We must desire and seek spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 1 and 9. Then we must also be obedient to what we learn. As we grow in knowledge and information and wisdom and understanding, then we must be willing to submit our wills to what we learn. It will do us no good if we know it and will not do it. But we must be willing to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7. We must be willing to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4 to 6. In other words, in harmony with the Spirit's teaching. We must be willing to keep the commandments of God. 1 John 2, verse 3 to 6. And thus know that we have a relationship with God which is right with Him. How do we know that we know God? John says. We know that we know God when we keep His commandments. You don't know that you know God if you have a feeling inside. You don't know that you know God if you have some kind of inner glow or some kind of small voice that keeps whispering to you. You know if you know God if you keep His commandments. That's the way you know it. And that's what the Scripture teaches. We need to be more concerned about doing what is right because of God's love for us. Putting first things first and put them into proper perspective, as Jesus would say in Matthew 6 and 33. We need to develop in spirituality by having more fellowship. More fellowship with those who are trying to be spiritual. By having fellowship with fellow Christians. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, Paul says, "Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupt good morals." Could it not be reversed and say that good association develops strength in a spiritual way? Yes, it can. The association that we ought to have with people who have like minds and interest will strengthen us. Worship, service, the participation in Bible classes, the demonstration that we love one another, the good times that we can have together by playing together, singing together, eating together, being together. You know, you don't have to have a feast to have fellowship. You can have a little food along with the fellowship if you want to. But the fellowship is the most important thing. The most important thing to us is that each one of us help one another to be better Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul reminds us that we are to speak the truth in love, that we might grow up in all things into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, making the increase of the body and the building up of itself in love. How do we become more spiritual? By following those simple procedures. Recognition of our need, repentance and determination to do more, praying and drawing closer to God, studying His Word that we may know it, being obedient to it, and participating with one another in edification and strengthening of one another to become more as God would have us to become. And then thirdly, what would be the results of all that would, if all of us would become spiritual? What would be the results here? What would be the results in your life individually and our lives collectively? If all of us determined today that we would be more spiritually minded, it seems to me that we would have more of the fruits of the Spirit, which would be apparent in the world and to the world. This passage in Galatians 5 and 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering toward one another, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. We live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And then in Colossians chapter 3, he mentions some other characteristics that are as a result of this. He says, put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. That would be characteristic of us. Those characteristics that would be apparent in our life then would demonstrate to the world that we're His disciples. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one toward another. John 13 and 35. We would be more interested in the souls of others. We would strive to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6 and 2. We would be concerned about restoring those who've gone astray because they're lost and they need to be converted and they need to be brought back. Galatians 6, 1 and James 5, 19. Truly under such conditions, the church would grow spiritually and numerically. We would be involved in zealously doing that which is good, seeking to do that which is good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. We would be careful to maintain good works and be zealous of good works and enthusiastic in the carrying of them out in our lives. Titus chapter 2, 15, 3, 1, and 3, 8. Spiritually minded, are you? Brethren, is something lacking in this church? Is it the lack of interest in spiritual things? Being spiritually minded? Do we need to be more spiritual? I'm asking you individually today, are you a spiritually minded individual? Do you have your mind set on the things of the Spirit? Are you striving to walk in harmony with the will of the Spirit of God? Are you striving to live in keeping with the light, the Word, the way? Are you spiritually involved in your relationship to others, your relationship to the church, in your personal relationship to God?